All right, let's get her going. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition Hour. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. Why are you giving me the hairy eyeball there over there, Sammy? You good?
All good, buddy.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Continue.
Wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you're aboard. Adam Fantastic led the charge last night for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Him and his family enjoying, what did he have, 80 of them there?
That was pretty cool. I was thinking, I don't know that I could, there's no place I could go that many people would come see me do anything, I don't think. I don't think my wedding, we had to bribe people to come.
He paid to play last night, isn't that what he said?
Yeah, that's a terrible deal.
His hat trick defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-1 last night, and a game where I think we still heard some positive things out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Was it as positive as a 5-1 loss can kind of not look like?
You know, it you can take last night a number of ways. And I was tempted to come in here today and push the glasses up the bridge of my nose and say, well, actually, they played pretty darn well, and they outshot them. They had the possession time, and high-danger chances were 24-11, and they got smoked. They lost 5-1 to Columbus at home,
yeah.
And I went through all the goals, and they stunk.
I'm kind of with you. Last night kind of bothered me, too.
Oh.
Yeah. It did. They're saying the right things, I think. They're an incredibly positive team.
Yeah, I guess.
I will say that.
That's good, isn't it? What's the point in getting all...
Well, Willie taught us that.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Right?
What's the big deal, baby?
What's the big deal?
Yeah.
But like, give Columbus some credit here because they've turned themselves in a very short, while here.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's not give them too much
credit. I'm impressed. I am impressed with them.
I am impressed with them, too.
And I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't know where Elvis...
Elvis
will leave the building at some point for them.
I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, see, I think they're well coached.
Same.
And, I don't know about what you thought of Zach Werenski last night, but every time he was on the ice, he seemed like he was in control.
Mm-hmm. Love some of the guys. I love a handful of the players. Fantilli's obviously excellent. Werenski's good. It's a pretty short list for me. Marchenko's coming around, having a great year.
But they work hard.
Yeah, all that stuff. But, they can't hold a candle to the Leafs. The Leafs, you know what I'm saying? They're not in that echelon of teams. And, like I said, all of those numbers last night did have – the Leafs got robbed 20 times and everything they shot on Hildeby went in. Sometimes the goalie has a big say in things, too. But, yes, I'm going to get to the goals after because there was some lackadaisical play.
Where are you? Glass full.
After watching that game, I would say that Elvis Merzlikins 890 save percentage is actually very impressive with the way that they defend the neutral zone. I don't know if the first two periods of that game, it was just the Autobahn through the neutral zone for the Leafs. The center of the ice was wide open. They were getting grade A after grade A. I think a lot of nights, I would say, this is the Sheldon Keefe era of hockey here, where one of the favorite memes on the internet is the deserve to win-o-meter.
Yeah.
And this is a big-time deserve-to-win-o-meter game where the Leafs were clearly the better team, spent way more than half the game in the offensive zone.
Way more.
Had the puck, were pressing, and you leave with a 5-1 score against a team that's supposed to be worse than you. It's a Sheldon Keefe game. It's what it was.
Yeah.
I've seen this game before. And listen, Bunk opened up our show last night. It was the bingo card for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You have a local guy, Adam Fantilli, scores a hat trick. You get goalied by a guy who's having an awful year. You have a former Leaf score a goal in JVR. And you have the win the deserve to win-o-meter. It's the bingo card last night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, anyways, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So
less of those this year than we've seen in previous
100%.
Years.
Way less.
100%.
But, now to get to how you end up losing that game, I felt like, I don't know if the Leafs had their foot off the gas at times, just thought it was going to be easy, but there's a number of plays where they're just not skating. They're just not paying attention to detail. Like, you could, I would love to sit there. It would be a great show if you and I could sit here for 1 hour, watch the four goals, and talk about where guys should be and what happened. I think people would be interested.
It was lazy hockey on the goal.
It was lazy hockey on,
well,
on
we'll
four
try,
of the goals.
We'll try our best to still do that in a
audio form.
In audio condensed form here. Yeah. But let's just get Craig Berube's overall thoughts of the game as we shared ours early here.
I don't know. I liked our start. Thought we had a real good first period. We're down 1-0. Shorthanded goal. I mean, control in the second period pretty much offensively in the offensive zone. They go down, one opportunity, they score again. Like, you know, I think the game, we got a, you know, we had a lot of shot attempts and they blocked a lot of shots, but, you know, I think we could have been a little bit more direct with our offense. You know, I thought at times we controlled a lot, most of the play, but, you know, it was on the outside a little bit too much. We could have shot more pucks, even on our power play. I thought there was lanes where we should have just shot pucks at the net and scored. Like, he was on the goalie, was really good. I mean, their goalie was good, give him credit, but we had to score a couple greasy goals tonight, and we didn't get that done.
Everything's a nail to a hammer.
Okay, so I'm not,
it's always the criticism of their offense when they don't score.
I'm not on the same Craig Berube page today about really liking your start and a good first period, a really good first period. So
we do not agree.
Obviously, he's lumping that Ryan Reeves fight in, and we'll get into the details of that and what we thought of it. Did you see it the way Craig did? That was a really good first period. And I'm not saying that it didn't show signs of it, but I didn't get anything out of that start till about 9 minutes in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I kind of neutral on that. I guess I felt like Matthews could have had like four goals in the period. You know, it's one of those games to me where if the other goalie's not great and if you go in the net, you probably go, pretty good start. So, yeah, it was fine. I guess expectations are high for this team and whatever. I don't know. You, what didn't you like?
I just thought it was a slow 8 minutes. I didn't think anything really got going for the Leafs until Nyes had the puck behind the net and found Timmins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an incredible scoring chance and an incredible save by Elvis. And then the flow started coming. We saw Willie start attacking. We saw Marner start attacking. And that's when it picked up. Prior to that, it was, I think, a horrific power play again.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first two power plays.
They split it between units, almost 50-50,
okay, so
ice time last night.
They equally looked bad. The entries, I saw one entry of the second unit where Robertson tried to drop a puck back, and it's like, it's still to me, a work in progress beyond belief, but I thought they lost energy mm-hmm. off of that first two power plays.
Yeah, and they worked to draw them, right? Did they have three power plays to zero for Columbus?
Yeah. But
no one has a new idea on the breakout, eh? We're all going to do the drop for 30 years.
Yes.
Like, what are we, 10 years into the drop now? No other coach can come up with their own idea?
And you give up a shorty, too. So, you know, that's, I mean, is there anything that saps momentum in a hockey game more than a bad power play with a late shorthanded goal?
Well, combined with the fact that the shorty happens because the guy wrist shots it into your net.
Yeah, that one
that hurts. Too. Yeah.
Yesterday on our show, we made a brief tongue-in-cheek comment that nothing would happen between Ryan Reeves and Olivier. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I remember just when you talk about it, it's always opposites day on any conversation that you have.
I didn't say that. This guy just believes what has happened is going to continue happening forever. So,
early thoughts on the fight. You want to go to Craig Berube first, or you want to get your thoughts in?
I'll get my thoughts in. Didn't matter. But let's talk about it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it. Yeah. I was really excited and happy to see Ryan Reeves finally get his fight that he hasn't had all year.
You watch my Instagram page, all the suggestions are UFC knockouts. Yeah. So I like this stuff. It was fun, but then we had a hockey game after.
They're two absolute heavy heavies, and they chucked, and it looked great. And yeah, then the game kind of went on.
Okay.
Your thoughts.
Let's listen to the clip. 2.
Craig Berube.
Always would like to see Reeves drop the gloves for the first time in the regular season.
Yeah, it was a great fight. I mean, that was a hell of a fight, I'll tell you what. I'm glad I wasn't in it, but I mean, yeah, it was great to see. I thought that guys really fed off it, you know, and like I said, I really liked our first period.
So
what'd you think?
The clip they showed after that fight of who we had on yesterday, Jody Shelley and Craig Berube fighting.
Yeah.
Fights in the NHL used to be a little different. Like they were, there was no gas. It was all gas, no breaks, straight face punches. But anyways.
It had a lot of different dynamics to it for me.
Okay.
And the first one is that I understand Ryan Reeves and the pressure to be in this city and have no fights after half a season.
That's why it happened.
And what I need to do to get rid of that ASAP. Mm. So that explains 99% of it. The part that I didn't like is that it just, to your point a little bit, it really had like no relevance. I want more substance into fights today. I do not want to see.
Yeah, you've been consistent on that.
I just don't want to see anymore a guy like filling his quota.
Yeah.
It was a fight for Ryan Reeves and Ryan Reeves only.
100%. It's like hockey game,
where
boxing match, hockey game, hockey game.
If a guy's still going to play that role, there's got to be more layers to it for me. And I would rather have seen Ryan Reeves or anybody in that role to go out there and create the energy because of who he is in a way that can feed the game or feed his hockey club. Yeah. And I don't know, he didn't need that fight right away. I would have probably played the shift out a little bit more or a couple. I want to create an energy to, if it's going to end up with a fight between me and him, I want to create more of an energy with it.
Like go out and be Coletta and run into people and cause chaos and make them chase you and hate you. And
I want to drag more people in to this, what has always been historically a very emotional element in our game. Mm-hmm. So the whole reaction, and we're going to hear from Austin Matthews on the reaction as well, but all of it was like, where did that come from? Like I'm watching it, and it's a good fight.
Yeah.
Is it a great fight? I saw a lot of punches not land, but it should have created way more energy in the building or with his hockey club. And people were still sitting down. I'm not even sure if they were ready. It's a midweek game. Like it had zero feel like we saw with Reeves and Rempe.
Yeah.
Right? On a Saturday night, Hockey Night Canada, you kind of know it's coming. It's kind of breathing out a little bit. There's like, you know, foreplay, right? It's not just get in there and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, right?
Absolutely.
And this one had nothing of it.
Yeah. I come in pretty hot.
Great drop.
That's my opinion.
No, it's the right opinion. It is. It made it irrelevant. And so we can comment on, do we have the Matthews thing? Do you want to listen to Matthews on the crowd?
What?
But I don't know. I've been asking this guy to fight all year, and he goes out there and he fights maybe the toughest guy in the league. I have a hard time coming in here and be like, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't this.
I'll say this in his defense.
Like,
he doesn't get on the ice enough to know if he's going to be on the ice to get that matchup.
And he had his best game he's had in weeks.
Listen,
after that. He played 9 minutes.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm with him. Like, for all of that, I got to look after me first. Right? I'm supposed to be a tough guy. I'm not fighting. I can't find dance partners. I don't know when my next shift's going to come. I get it.
But it's like when Nick Robertson scored his goal and celebrated, it was like he was happy for himself there. That was not like a for the team thing.
So it's just, I don't know. It's just dying on the vine, right? Yeah. This role, this kind of feel. It's just.
Olivier's a mutant.
Yes. that Reeves would probably say, quiet building, start of the game, trying to get some emotion and energy going into it. So why don't we listen to what Austin Matthews thought, clip one, on the response.
Would like a little more energy from the crowd after that. I thought, it was a little quiet tonight, especially after, two guys like that go at it.
Okay, so
my favorite thing a captain has ever said for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right there. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like so much about that?
Because I think that you're speaking to your actual fan base.
To the real fans.
As opposed to the people who can't get there on time for a 7:30 puck drop in Toronto, right? Like, it's you're speaking to people that are up in the upper deck that would love to be down there on their feet cheering. And he's saying, listen, it should be a little louder in there. And it should be. This is two of the toughest guys in the league throwing bombs at each other. People should be more fired up about it.
So,
and I loved it, to be honest.
Where do you think, the fan base or people on social media are today? You think they're kind of split where they're like Sammy here, or are they like,
I don't think
they didn't like it.
I don't think this is anything either. And listen, I got opinions on this game and how guys played and what went down last night.
Yeah.
This to me is, he's right. Yeah, it was a quiet night. It was Columbus in January, game 50. Crowd wasn't that into it. Could have been better. And that's all it is to me.
He's one of the most
soft-spoken guys you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing kind of. Yeah, I think it was just an observation.
Yeah,
he was not kind of ripping on the fans. It was like, he doesn't really ever say anything.
I do think that it does speak to the crowd in that these guys do feed off and need that energy. It gives the crowd some power. It matters when the crowd's into it. It affects guys. You have some influence on the game.
I went to one game this year against the Detroit Red Wings on Hall of Fame Friday, and I sat lucky enough to be hosted by my boy Jeff in the lower bowl. Sat in the lower bowl with three big time degenerate Leaf fans trying to get Go Leaf Go chants going, and you're getting a hairy eyeball from people down there. Like this isn't a coincidence that he's talking about this. The atmosphere is brutal. And it's like, oh, it's a midweek. Listen, oh, it's a midweek thing. It's a midweek. Yeah.
Half the fan base would kill to be there and be on their feet.
But
they
just can't.
Squashed you and 98%.
And that's brutal. It is.
A Ranger game, a Leaf game, they're not normal fans. They're corporate, trying to cut deals. And they don't really.
And you think that's right?
If the object of the game is to make the most money possible, then it's certainly right.
But Kipper, I don't know if you were watching any of that Montreal Rangers game the Sunday after they blew the lead to the Leafs. I mean, tickets in the lower bowl expensive in Montreal. They cheap there. They just give them out for $10. Every time a goal goes in, the crowd pops. People are yelling, chanting. It's a brutal rink. And it's been like this forever. And when two of the toughest guys in the league are throwing absolute widowmakers at each other's faces, you'd expect people to be excited about it. Oh, you can't get there on time. Leave earlier. It's a 7:30 puck drop. Give me a break. Like, the lower bowl's
brutal. Speaking to the people.
It's brutal. It's embarrassing.
Anyways. Well, then. Well.
Well, we'll see. You think the Leaf fans will respond to the captain and say,
Winfield wants noise?
Winfield wants noise. The famous Blue Jay call out.
Yeah. Anyways, we can move on.
You think it's coming?
No, I think they'll be like, oh, I got to finish my red wine and have a sushi. Like, they don't care.
Do you have any great poupon?
Proletariat and the bourgeoisie are in the same studio here.
It's like, yeah. Oh, I got to be in the share club. Like, they don't care. They're like, I've been in the share club with you. Let me write another check. Like, they don't care.
That's all right, what do we think of the exchange of sticks? Usually, in international hockey, you exchange gifts before or after a game.
I meant to
but
say
not
this
during
yesterday.
The game.
Yeah, yeah. I meant to say this yesterday when we were talking about international play. It said my dad played for a Canada Cup team. They switched jerseys with the Swedish team. So we don't have my dad's Canada Cup jersey. We have a Johansson Sweden, and I don't know which Johansson, or Janssen maybe. It could be anyone.
Go to your memorabilia guy and say, how much would I have gotten for a Canada jersey, and how about this guy I've never heard of in my life?
Yeah, what's this Janssen Sweden jersey worth? Anyway, what were we talking
kind
about?
Kind of a very strange event.
That was very strange. Very funny.
Two
only can happen in game
players
48.
Exchanging sticks, and one happens to be a goalie stick.
And they showed a clip on the broadcast that Slafkovský had a stick taken by a goalie like the night before or something like that. That was strange.
I honestly think that's one of the funnier singular in-game moments.
What I want to know is, like, let's say the second he picks up that goalie stick, pucks at the point, shot on net, he tips it with the goalie stick, and it's in.
No goal.
Yeah.
He's got a penalty.
No,
right?
No, it's no goal.
Instant no goal.
Do you have a clip of Matthews' description?
We have Berube talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Clip three, please.
Austin and Elvis switch sticks there. You've probably seen a lot of stuff in this league. But
yeah, that was a weird exchange, I'll tell you that. He's got the goaltender stick for about 2 seconds.
Have you picked ever seen
up,
that?
No, I don't think so. No, I haven't. So, but.
So. Do you guys remember when Bobby Ryan scored with a Mikko Koivu stick?
Yeah.
Ripped it out of his hands and actually shot it in the net with the other team's stick.
It has happened before, right? Players picking up each other's sticks, but never a goal stick.
Right. Yeah, it was hilarious. What a show we are here with the highlights.
Did our show find new money?
Yeah, we got new money.
Under a couch or something? This is unbelievable.
How are we starting to get highlights on our show for those of you that are watching on TV?
I just think it's so funny. Like, I don't know if you played street hockey and like you run out of sticks and there's one guy that's playing with a goalie stick or some other, the wrong-handed stick. It's just a funny visual. I wish I could give credit to somebody who tweeted this, but they put out that, like, it looks like one of those images. Like, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
Him holding the goal. It's hilarious. Anyway.
Austin did make a comment, I think, last night of not completely knowing the rules.
He said, I got to read the rule book,
Which puts him with probably like 98% of us ever played the game.
But you wouldn't have picked up a goalie stick. You can't play with a goalie stick, but obviously.
I would have gone and got mine back and probably punched Elvis in the head. That's what I would have done.
Probably what you would have.
You want to steal my stick?
Yeah.
Then I'm coming right back at you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
that's
funny.
That's what I would have done, but
and it'd be an offsetting.
Nobody would have remembered that compared to me skating around with a goalie stick. I can tell you that.
Can I ask you both why that rule exists? You can't play with, like, if you pick up a stick off the ice and you shoot it in. Why is that not allowed?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, I mean, if the guy takes your stick and then, or if your stick goes in the corner, there's another, like, you steal someone's stick.
The second
stick
the guy
it.
Takes your stick, he should get a penalty for one.
Yeah, but if but the stick's laying on the ice and you pick up his stick. And you shoot it in the net. I don't get why that's not.
Because you don't want to encourage stealing sticks.
It's an
equipment thing.
Okay. All right. I think it'd be pretty funny if you could just rip a guy's stick out of his hand.
It's a new element to the game.
It really adds a different element. Anyway.
So offhand, I can't remember. Was Elvis's call holding?
Yeah.
Like, he got a holding the stick penalty?
Yeah. Literally held the stick.
stealing the stick.
And Austin got illegal sticker.
Yeah. That's funny.
What the heck that was.
Because,
we got some people to talk about.
Riley.
Yeah, sure. Minus two last night.
Yeah.
Minus 16 now, 15, 16.
Yeah.
16.
But like, just really, you know, not doing the things that he does well, which to me, Sam mentioned in our group chat, skating.
Okay, are we past, we just got to find him another partner? Or is that over?
I don't know if it's over, but it's definitely, yes. So, I think it's both. It's not the partner's fault.
Yeah.
But we still need to find him a partner.
But it's not my top priority. My top priority is to getting him to move again like a number one defenseman.
I said to Sam up top, like the plan for Riley is cross your fingers. Like
I don't know what other choice you have.
Yeah.
You've now tried him with Chris Tanev, and in the game that you put him with Chris Tanev's immediately dashed to.
Yeah.
You try him with Jake McCabe. He has one good game. And in the second game, Jake McCabe, these two guys have been your biggest plus defenseman, and Jake McCabe ends up minus three.
Yeah.
So.
I know. The Fantilli goal, the first one, McCabe does what they call like an early take. He tries to close a guy off in the neutral zone. And Morgan is gapped so far back, he can't affect
I'm not
the play.
I'm not sure McCabe should have come over.
Well,
he went out of his way in a shorthanded situation.
They want to kill that. They want to kill it early and direct him to the boards, which he didn't do well.
But if Morgan doesn't read it and cover up the other side, which he didn't.
Yeah. Then, but that's it, right? He's supposed to, and he didn't.
And, like, no sense of urgency when he does realize this situation. That, to me, that bothers me the most.
Same here.
Is that, like, and I watched it, and I've come to the conclusion that Morgan Riley has lost a step.
You think he's slower?
I think he's slower.
Yeah. I wonder if he's heavier, if it's something that is fixable, or if he's just...
I got to think at his age, it's fixable. But it's gone.
The puck that they end up, you know, there's the one where he kind of loses it and it gets tangled and it stays in the zone. The problem all starts because he's going back on a puck where instead of skating and getting back on it quick and taking it around the net, he kind of slows down, hesitates, lets someone get on top of him, rims it around the board, and they keep it in. That's why they're in the zone in the first place. It's the lack of skating. And that's really unusual because that has been the thing for him. His strength. That's the thing he does
getting
well.
Getting up and down the ice and just making sound decisions.
What do you have if Morgan Riley's lost a step?
You're in massive trouble.
I mean, that's the whole thing is the step that you don't want to lose. Like, that's the whole thing is the skating. And the, like you said, ability to get up and down. I don't know. It's concerning.
Yeah.
It's concerning.
Matthew Nyes got hurt. Hill to be at a tough night. What do you like next?
Matthew Nyes, all indications are it's not a head injury, which was my first concern for the Leafs is that, oh gosh, is this guy, like he's had multiple head injuries, but the word is that it's not, which is good news. And I think the anticipation is that the Leafs will say that he's day to day.
No, you don't say.
I will be the first to report that Matthew Nyes is day-to-day. I'll be the first to report that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's happening?
Yeah, day-to-day.
Why don't we get a report from
So the coach didn't speak today. So we had to get
So who spoke for him?
Stephen Lorenz gave the update on Matthew Nyes today.
All right, let's go to Dr. Lorenz.
Yeah, he's good. He's in good spirits, and he's a tough kid. You know, he's built like a brick, you know what, house, and he's got that muscle and that added layer. So again, I think he's just a little bit banged up, but he won't be out too much longer. I already seen him today, and he doesn't want to be sitting out very long. So I think he's just trying to do whatever he can to get back as soon as possible.
Doctor,
and doctor. That's awesome.
Best injury update we've got all year, most forthcoming.
But that's all we needed.
Yeah. He's going to be in my chair the moment he retires.
Lorenz.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So that is, I will say, if it had been a head injury, and I, in an article I wrote today, initially had it wrong, thought it was, and I have amended that, that would be a massive concern to me. To have three head injuries in 2 years here as a Maple Leaf playing a physical game, you'd be worried about his ability to play reckless. I don't know what this is. I'm going to assume it's a shoulder or something like that.
Hip. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird fall.
But yeah, that's better.
I don't like throwing this around and labeling, but the guy's injury prone.
Well, you're going to enjoy my article today on the Leafs being injury prone and why they need to make one of these big moves to give themselves insurance for that. Because the injury prone guys you're talking about, Nyes, Bobby McMahon sometimes goes away, went away in playoffs last year. Austin Matthews is a curious question mark. Max Pacioretty has played top 6 minutes for them.
You go through the list.
Jake McCabe's missed games twice with head injury this year.
Both goalies, you know, it's...
God, when you lay it out like that...
There's a lot of guys that are like, you cannot count on this team being healthy in round one, and so you need to get real insurance.
I'm not sure, but somebody said at the beginning of the year that, you know, look out for the injuries with the style of play.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll give you credit there. You did say that. But this personnel is also...
That wasn't before. Like,
sure,
the Leafs the last few years, it was never like this.
Well,
not for Sheldon. Sheldon Keefe never had this many in long stretches.
Yeah.
Never.
But McMahon and Wohl and, you know,
one or two here and there, but like four?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's really been troublesome to see guys constantly dropping
Yes.
But you got to persevere. So what is your answer in your article? Just go buy a couple more $750,000 players?
It's the complete opposite. That your suggestion of Cousins or the names that are being talked about, whether it's Kadri or whether...
You have multiple pieces up. And you need to create room. What are you doing if you're just moving bodies out and same amount in? Is it just because you feel like whoever you're bringing in will not get hurt like the rest of them?
I mean, if you want good players in case guys do get hurt.
Yeah, but then you're adding. You're looking for insurance, right?
Right.
I don't know how much money they have to keep adding here.
Well, you know, you're talking at the deadline. If it's injuries, you assume guys can go on LTIR. There's obviously retention is possible at the deadline. Yeah. You know, there's a variety of ways to go about it. And there's also guys that can go out. I said yesterday, you know, Max Domi for me has been a trouble spot for them. There are some bodies that you feel, Ryan Reeves has not played a whole ton. There are things you can do to make some space if you have to.
Okay, we don't want to go to break without talking at least about the Hildebeest and his night last night and how, I don't know, do you think he got assigned to the Marlies like between periods last night, or did that happen today because they couldn't send him down fast enough?
Let's just say it was like a pretty early transaction. The first time they got to the rink, they're like, let's at least PR send the tweet.
Nightmare outing. Spot. They put him in.
Started feeling bad for him a little bit.
You know, it's like you only got like 18 shots, so you're not getting enough action to make up for the early errors.
First real one goes in,
and you've been on the bench forever, and it's just really tough to get in a rhythm. Not quite an NHL goalie yet.
There's a lot of work there. For what is he, 6'7"?
Yeah, and like, he was drafted at like 21.
Big
like,
guy.
He's a project.
And first time we really saw the motion, right? The ability to go post to post. I don't know, that one wraparound where he was like
asleep,
like full Samsonov.
But it does show you the margins because he almost has his toe there, but he's this far from having it there. And he almost gets a piece to the one from Fantilli, but he's this close. Like, it's a tough league. Yeah. Guys, put it in the corner pocket.
Yeah.
Stolar is expected to play before Four Nations.
Is that right?
Yeah. So,
love that.
The schedule.
Yeah, I saw some B-roll of him doing some work on the ice today, and he was looking pretty goalie-ish, so that's encouraging.
So, of course, the schedule kind of calms down next week. One game?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Against the Wild, and then Saturday against the Oilers.
Against, on a Western road trip. Yeah.
One game against the Wild. Are we still going to do five shows?
Yeah.
That's still
the
plan.
We are. Okay. I think so. But it'll be the big Western road swing with Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and Seattle.
Correct.
Stolarz is expected to play at least one of those games.
Beautiful. Good to hear. Love those start times.
Yeah.
A little bit later. God. Once the kids are in bed, it's good for me.
Okay. Take a quick break.
We do have... I want to get to some of these clips, but we should take a break.
Which one you want?
Well, we got a couple on Hildeby, and we got Joe Wall.
Okay. All right. And we've got true or false Maple Leaf Edition Sammy style.
You got it.
We got work to do.
Okay. Perfect. Plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour Edition. Talking Toronto Maple Leafs and their 5-1 loss last night to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Just talking Robertson off air. Saying, I had to tell you, I think this guy's got an NHL career ahead of him.
He's a spunky guy.
I like him more than I used to. Even when he's not scoring now, he works, he lifts sticks.
I'm not sure I've ever heard spunky using a more derogatory word.
He's
a little squirt.
Positively?
He's a good little squirt.
I did not use the word squirt. Okay? Don't put words in my mouth.
Oh, I'll put one in your mouth. You called him a pinball at one point.
I say every once in a while he gets the little pinball-ish out there where it's... Not like Pinball Clemens, where you're actually, going in to score a touchdown, but he gets bounced around a little bit along the walls for me.
We forgot to mention something in the first block, and I thought we talked about it a little bit off the top of Fantilli. I thought it was a fantastic story. You see his parents in the crowd.
Very cool. Loved it.
Hometown kid. You truly got to love that.
I like Fantilli.
But, you know, I talked about this a little bit on Leafs Talk last night. I'll bring it to you guys. You know, in Adam Fantilli's Hall of Fame speech, when he's thanking everybody, and he'll be like, I'll always remember my first hat trick came in my hometown. And Chief, brother, I'll always have you for inexplicably pulling the goalie with 9 minutes left in a hockey game that I got to shoot it in the net to complete my hat trick. What the hell was that?
I know.
The hell was that?
I didn't understand it.
You know, I wouldn't. I thought it was too early, too.
It's absurd.
I'm very pro stats. I like aggressive coaching. I think you sit back down 3 goals, 9 minutes left. You're just waiting to lose.
It's not just 9 minutes left.
This Leafs team can score.
It's 4-1, okay, which isn't today. It's not outrageous with 9 minutes to go.
No, if you get one in the next couple of minutes, you're in a good spot.
If I'm not mistaken, you were at a 4-on-4.
Yep.
And you've got three of the most electrifying hockey players in the world.
So put them on the ice.
No, they were on the ice.
Okay, perfect.
They were.
Yep.
And you want to pull the goalie.
And you end the game immediately. Like, any chance of coming back, any belief, you get a minute of like, oh, they had a shot blocked, and then...
I think Chief would say that if they don't score in the next couple of minutes, the game's over anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you're down to 6 minutes left, down three, night-night. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get one now.
Yep.
And so I get the eagerness, and so I'm not as critical of it, but...
So then let me ask you, Borny.
Give them a chance to tighten... Get a goal. Give them a chance to tighten up.
I wouldn't have done it last night.
So then let me ask, if they do get one on the first shift to make it 4-2, you put the goalie back in?
Yeah, I think so, till you at least get possession in the O-zone and get it.
And I'm not sure if the timing, like, you got to really know that you got possession before I think you want to just call your goalie to the bench. And they just never really had anything under control.
You're right.
And
you're right.
He comes out. Next thing you know, it's in the net. And it's like, do we have to practice that too?
Yeah, it was too early.
Yeah,
too
early. Okay. That's what I thought we
should. Do you want to hear about it from the coach?
Yes, oh, I do. I okay. do. Yeah. Clip Maybe six. He can talk me out of it.
Clip six.
Well, I had an opportunity. It was 4-on-4. We could make it 5-on-4. So, you know, we had the one look, it got blocked. And then, you know, they made a play and scored. So, I thought if we got one there, get us back in it, you know. That was the thought process on that.
Wow. That was the most rote recitation of what happened I've ever heard. Just here are the events that happened. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
True or false, or no, you want to do some other stuff?
No, goalies. You wanted to mention
Wall? What did Wall say about not playing last night?
It's just an interesting answer. Okay. He's a thoughtful guy. Play the clip from Joel Wallace from today.
You know, it's two-sided. From one point, you know, I always want to be in the net. I want to be helping my team as much as I can. So you feel a little weird, especially when you get in a rhythm of playing. It's a little weird to come out and you don't feel quite right, honestly. And at the same time, it is good, and I understand it's good to manage, and it's good to keep your body and your mind healthy. So, you know, I see both standpoints. It's like most things in life. It's not all good. It's not all bad.
You know, that sounds like a guy that wanted to play.
Yeah, it's very philosophical. But it sounds like he's enjoying being in a routine of playing every other day, and that's pretty cool. That's a big step.
I think there's a real nervous side to the Leafs still with these guys. And
how could you not be Kipper?
The closer you get to February and March, and the thought of maybe losing one of them is... So you go the other way. You over protect,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's just what's happening here.
He hasn't
cannot afford to lose this guy again.
No, he has. He puts one word in a sentence. He was talking about the crowd last night and Matthew's comments, and he says,
"Boy, they were asking both Lorenz, and they were really needling them, looking for a quote."
And Wohl was talking about how
today.
Oh yeah,
on the crowd comment.
Yeah, they were both. Trying to get
news
out of
not,
it.
A lot of people don't want to let it go.
Agreed.
Media are hoping to generate some. But they asked Wall about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, sometimes the crowd here in Toronto can be awesome. He goes, I think it was game six against Boston. I think it was 2-1. He's like, the crowd really helped us out a lot in that game. And I'm just like reading it. You think it was 2-1? Like, you almost had a shutout. He gave up a goal with a second left.
That cost him game seven.
It took you out of game seven. Yeah. It was the most pivotal game of your career. Like, flashing back, like, oh, what? That might have been game six, I think. Jesus. How is that not the top of your mind?
It's funny.
Mental.
It's funny.
Anyway.
True or false?
Let's do true or false.
Okay. Let's start with a big one here. True or false? Toronto Maple Leafs win more than one playoff series this year's playoffs.
True.
Oh, yeah. True.
Hard true.
Hard true.
Yeah.
But you got no other, like, they're...
Wow, that is a lot of confidence.
They're a top team so far during the regular season. They're going to win the Atlantic. They should win the Atlantic.
Okay.
How are you not coming out of the first round?
The first wild card spot right now is that Columbus team last night, who, yes, I know they lost.
But over seven games, you can't beat them four times?
You sure can.
Yes.
So, yeah, yes.
Should.
So more than one.
That's not the question.
Yes, it is. I said,
well, we have more than one.
Yes. Yeah.
They're going to win.
Wait, hold on. Was the question that they're...
Are they going to go to a conference final, are you asking us?
I said, true or false, the Toronto Maple Leafs will win more than one playoff series this year.
Well, why don't you just say, will they win two rounds?
We both took that as, will they win one round for some reason?
We're going out of the first round.
Yeah, that's what I had it as, too.
Okay.
Hold on. I'd like to slow down my answer.
Okay, thank you.
And say, true.
Wow.
A gentle true.
A gentle true. What about you, Kipper? Conference finals.
Yeah, they'll go to a conference final. I think I'm watching Florida. I'm watching Tampa Bay. I'm watching what's going on in the Metro. Like, they're there. But they won't if they don't do something of significance at the trade deadline.
You like the juice, huh?
More detailed for you?
Loved it. This is related to that directly. True or false? Fraser Minton and Easton Cowan will be members of the Leafs organization past March 7th at 4 p.m.
False.
No. Yeah, false. That's the game we're playing.
Yeah.
True or false?
True or false? Good one.
Didn't love Minton.
No.
Yeah, hasn't quite worked for me. Last night he's standing beside a guy in a net front battle in one of the goals.
Yeah, it's hard.
Seeing him do anything with it.
Yeah, not... Way more noticeable earlier in the year, or I don't know if it's a comfort zone. Who knows what's going on with him, but I thought I'd see more of a presence last night from him.
Take this as you like, but he's no Pontus Holmberg so far for me. Like, honestly, like, Holmberg is big and strong and drives and forechecks, and like, he's...
So you think they're both gone?
No.
Nope.
No. Pick one. You only need one to get a big fish.
I do really? Think Fraser Minton has a career ahead
you
of him.
Can't,
great
you
career.
Can't, you don't need to sell both of them, Sammy, to get one big piece. Okay.
I think if you're a team like the Calgary Flames, you would look at a guy like Minton and say, that's exactly what we want. A young guy, solid, NHL-ready centerman, like, cost-controlled.
And the other thing is, and I don't know whether or not the Leafs, where they are with Easton Cowan, but he's... A lot more. I think he should be a lot more open to be moved than he would have been maybe 3 months ago, 6 months ago. Like, that one was a complete untouchable. I'm not there anymore with Easton Cowan.
What is that? Just on his success this season?
World Juniors? I mean, he has
maybe
points in 60 straight OHL games. So.
No, I get it. And once upon a time,
so did Nick Robertson.
Nick Robertson had 50 plus goals in Peterborough.
Yeah, listen,
Nick
I've been on your
had
side.
62 one year. Oh, he couldn't bank one off his ass in the NHL.
Okay, how about this one?
Where is he in the scoring leaders? Like Easton Cowan, I'm just kind of bombing through. Anyway.
To definitively say that this guy will be a star or a serviceable player, there's somewhere in between for Easton Cowan. Like, he could still be maybe a top three, you know, number one guy.
Yeah.
Or he could be a third line checking guy that scores 25. Is he Frederick, right?
Well, I mean, certainly not stylistically. But he's got 35 points in 25 games this year. You know, it's good.
This is a lot of guys scored a lot of points in junior hockey.
Sure did.
And never got a cup of coffee. That's all I can tell you.
Yep. Okay, where do we want to go here? Okay, after scoring last night for his fifth straight game, I think he's one back of Darryl Sittler now for the all-time, for the second place in Leafs history for scoring. True or false? Auston Matthews will threaten Wayne Gretzky and Alex Ovechkin's all-time goal-scoring record.
False.
False.
Health?
Health.
Okay.
Well, not just health. Longevity. You have to play in this league for so long.
Yeah.
And Ovechkin had runs where he was one of the fastest guys in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're able to keep up with the increase in the league for a long time. He's going to end up playing 20 years in the league or something. I just don't think Matthews has the longevity that Ovechkin has had, which, you know, it's tough to have. Not many people have been that healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's this real obsession and passion that a guy like Ovi has. I don't know that Matthews shares that.
I'm totally with you on that. I think he's a great goal scorer. Ovi, on a couple occasions, I went to alumni events in Washington and got to watch the Capitals practice. Like, this guy has got the juice all the time when it comes to wanting to score, even in practice. And some of his celebrations have been, I've questioned, you know, the hot stick. Mm-hmm. But this guy always, always acts after he scored like it's his first one in his career. Like, he loves it more than anything, putting the puck in the net.
He just seems to love hockey. And I think that the years wear on you if you don't. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury is one of those guys that just loves it, right? Every day he's just like a positive guy and he's around. I think it's hard if it's work and beat in Toronto's work, let alone being the captain.
One more observation between Ovechkin and Matthews is that people still don't talk enough about what a mule Ovi is and how physical he has been throughout his career and how much he's dished before he's received. And he's created so much room over the years in his prime because of how physical he plays the game. Like, this guy could hurt you.
Mm-hmm. One of the best hits in the history of hockey was him on Jágr in the Olympics.
How about his fist into Svechnikov's
mouth? Yeah, that was bad.
And Matthews won't do that. He does not engage in confrontation to create room for himself.
Well, the question wasn't,
is he better than Ovechkin?
No, it's not fighting. It's just the traffic. It's the rolling off guys. It's the pushing off guys.
Now, I'll push back on that and just say that Ovi has always been a defensive compared to Matthews being Selke nominee, shot blocking, face-off winning defense.
I'm just talking about the offense.
And though, I'm saying, you know, they are very different players in the way that they go about approach the game.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, this is too big a one for the last one. So I'll just do this. True or false, Ryan Reeves plays more than two playoff games for the Leafs.
You know what? I'm going to say false. I just think, I'll let Kip answer.
No, you go ahead. Finish your thought.
I just think that at the deadline, they're going to have to get creative with a cap and squeeze people in. And I just see him getting squeezed out. He just makes a bit too much money, and it may come down to his, you know, making 1.35 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
you got to be beat up real bad for Ryan to be in the lineup,
I think. He might be your 15th guy or something by the time
I just think the speed of the game and where you're at and what you're looking for. And, yeah, I just don't see –
not even like the game one physicality situation.
You
sneak him in there for
maybe
6 or 7 minutes.
Maybe. It's a possibility.
You gave it a two.
Yeah. Like they did with Kyle Clifford. Yeah. He took a 5-minute major immediately.
And then they rallied, though.
I do believe that the trend's been around long enough for the season to think that on some nights the Leafs can score seven, and other nights they're really going to struggle to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
God, I got so many good ones. I guess what? We'll save them.
Especially when it comes down to their bottom six, right? Yep. Bottom six is an issue here, scoring goals.
Need some scoring there, yep.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, Jason Bukla, Pro Hockey Group, Sportsnet analyst, NHL scout, former NHL scout, now doing all the scouting for the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. He'll be in studio when we return after these words. Don't go away.